Production Community Studios. We are the Burns and Gambo Show. Sean Gambadero, Dave Burns. And
it's 5 o'clock somewhere, Burnsy.
Here.
Might be somewhere else.
That only works when it's 11 o'clock in the morning and you want a cocktail and you say it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Oh, is that what that's for?
Yes.
I never knew what that phrase was for. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. I never knew what that was for. That's for people that want to drink early.
Yes,
that's
exactly.
Man, that is a knowledge drop. I never knew that.
You really didn't know that?
I swear to God, I had no idea what that was.
That's
5 o'clock somewhere.
The origination of the phrase. So if you're out at the Waste Management Phoenix Open,
yeah.
My wife is out there with her coworkers today. Right. And so if it's 10 o'clock in the morning, you want to have a Bloody Mary or a mimosa or something, you go, well, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I never knew that.
See the things you learn hanging out with scum like me who likes to drink and stuff like that.
So I'm ever with people out of drink, and I could always be, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
And you,
if they want to drink.
And you could sound cool, like you fit in.
Yeah,
you know?
Like I know what's going on.
You know how it works. Yeah, exactly.
You want some Boone's Farm wine?
Ew.
Yeah, that wouldn't work.
Huh? That wouldn't work. When we were mapping out our show at 1 o'clock today, we had on our schedule, let's talk about this Kristaps Porzingis story. I mean, he's demanding a trade, and oh, God, here we go again. The Devin Booker. What if this is going to be us in a year or two or whatever? Never in our wildest dreams at 1:15 when we were mapping out the show did we think that the Kristaps Porzingis wants to be traded story was going to turn into the Kristaps Porzingis has been traded story. It took like 30 minutes. In 30 minutes, it went from, hey, he reportedly wants out to he's out.
What? I know.
He's gone. He's in Dallas. That's it. It's over. It's done. He's in Dallas now.
Yeah, and I was talking to some players, like, as this was going down, it was, like, crazy, like, just like, wow, like, what are the Knicks doing? And think about what Dallas is doing, and, you know, Dallas is going international. They're going to be like the Spurs, you know, like with Ginobili and Parker and Duncan. They're going to have Porzingis and they're going to have Luka. What else are they going to do? And then the Knicks, like, man, they're throwing it all out there for this cap space. They're not getting anything back, really. It's just expiring contracts and a flyer on Dennis Smith Jr., who's good, but not that good. So it's really the expiring contracts. Is that, can they attract somebody? Now, the Knicks have been trying to get rid of Tim Hardaway and trying to get rid of Courtney Lee for a while now because it's a lot of money. I mean, Hardaway, $18 million this year, $19 million next year. That's $37 million. And then Lee is $13 million next year. So that's $50 million for those two guys. $50 million. So they really wanted to get off that contract. So the big question now is, like, do the Knicks know something? Like, do they have, like, a wink-wink deal from KD that I'm going to come and I'm going to bring Kyrie with me? Like, why did the Knicks just trade their best player for cap space?
Right.
For cap space. Now, they got two first-round draft picks, but let's be honest. If Dallas gets good between Porzingis and Luka, we're talking about picks that, now, I don't know which year those picks are.
I have it right here.
Do you have the, is it this year's pick?
Adrian Wojnarowski, no, it is not this year's pick.
Okay.
Dallas is sending New York a 2021 unprotected first-round pick and a 2023 protected first-round pick, 1 through 10 in the deal. Those are the two picks going back to New York.
Okay.
So an unprotected first in 2021 and 2 years from now and then
they,
4 years from now a protected first.
If they get good, I mean, you know, next year, you're talking about what, the 15th, 16th, 17th pick?
Yeah, but that's, again, to your point, that's not why the Knicks made this deal. The Knicks made this deal because they see Durant, Kyrie, Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, potentially Anthony Davis, if they could get involved in a trade somehow. There are big names and big dollars out there. And the Knicks, and you hit on it. What do they know? Well, what do they know anything?
I just had a player text me. You only do something like that if you know for sure you're getting one, maybe two max players.
Okay. Because it's a big, big cojones if you swing and miss like that and you don't get any guys. It takes some big guts to just say, you know what, we're the Knicks. We hope we're going to get KD. We hope we're going to get Kyrie Irving. So let's trade our best player. You better have been told something by somebody through some back channel somewhere that, you know what, hey, psst, by the way, if you clear some space, KD's coming and he's going to bring Kyrie with him. Or, psst, KD's coming and he's going to bring Kawhi with him. You better know that before you make a deal of this magnitude because you just gave up your best player.
Just, you only do something like that if you know for sure you're getting one, maybe two max players. I said, who do you think, KD and Kyrie? I think they believe that.
that the
this is a prominent NBA player right
Knicks
now.
Believe that.
Tell me the Knicks believe they're going to get KD.
I mean, look,
and Kyrie,
if I'm Danny Ainge,
at the very least, one of them.
If I'm Danny Ainge in Boston, I'm nervous about my ability to keep Kyrie Irving. I mean, I was nervous about it before because there have been reports that they might not keep him. I'm more nervous about it now, especially if there's some new super team forming in the East in New York and they've got all this cap space. And to your point, there might be some wink, wink, nudge, nudge, behind closed doors kind of agreement for KD to go there. Yeah, I'm a little nervous about losing Kyrie Irving right now.
Or you know what? I think the best asset that anybody has is the Memphis pick that Boston owns. Because it's very likely going to be an unprotected lottery pick in 2021. And it could be at that point the number one, number two, number three pick in the whole draft.
Yeah.
Like that's like they don't want Memphis's pick this year. They could have four picks this year, but they don't want the Memphis pick this year, and they're probably not going to get the Memphis pick this year.
Right. From the Mavericks perspective, okay, so now you've got, like you say, this international superstar pairing of Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, and what you have to think if you're Dallas is what do we need to make sure that Porzingis wants to stay here, right? Because he's a restricted free agent, and there have been two schools of thought here. One, he's going to go to Dallas, love it, want to sign there, make millions of dollars because he gets to play with Luka and maybe Dirk for 1 year, the whole international thing. I know Dirk's close to being done, but he's an international legend. Or, as some have suggested, he goes there and he just signs the one-year qualifying offer, plays for peanuts, but that's his quickest path to unrestricted free agency, and then he can go wherever he wants to go. If you're the Mavs, you now have to sell Kristaps Porzingis on Luka and Dirk and your culture and your team and your future. And I just wonder how hard they have to sell him on that, or do they kind of already know that he wants to stay there long term? That's the big question.
Good NBA connection in Dallas that told me they can't get free agents to come there. Like they have a really hard time. There's no attraction there to get guys there. So the way they got to do it is via trade. So that's what they have to do. They have to trade for players. They are just not attracting players to Dallas. So the way to get somebody, but you would think too, if you're the Dallas Mavericks, I'm going to give up two first round draft picks and I'm going to take on all this extra salary.
You would think
with Hardaway and Courtney Lee, I got to feel pretty good that I'm going to be able to keep Porzingis.
A source told ESPN about Porzingis, quote, he loves Luka and Dirk, close quote. But again, the only other option is to sacrifice millions by playing on a one-year qualifying offer and then being an unrestricted free agent a year from now. So we'll see what happens there. From a Suns perspective, there's two immediate reactions. Number one, obviously it's the Devin Booker thing. And here we go, another superstar who said he didn't want to be there anymore and the Knicks accommodated him. They moved him almost right away. When will that be us? Is that going to be a year from now? Is that going to be 2 years from now? How hard and how fast does James Jones has to work to make sure that isn't going to be us a year from now or two? And then the other angle is, if you're the Suns, are you kicking yourself right now for not having movable contracts so that you could have gotten in on Porzingis?
I don't know if they would have wanted Porzingis. They've got a big guy in DeAndre Ayton. I don't know if that they would have wanted. But we've said this all along with Tyson Chandler being gone and Trevor Ariza being gone. Now, you got Oubre for Ariza, so at least you got something there. But you didn't get anything for Tyson Chandler, and you didn't get anything for Austin Rivers. And those are expiring contracts that have some value. Expiring contracts are valuable. They are when you want to make a trade. And it's more difficult to make a good trade when you don't have an expiring contract, because teams, if they're trading you a player, they may want cap space. And the best way to get cap space is with a player that has an expiring contract. Okay, I'm going to get a guy, I'm going to pay him for 25 games, and then he's off my books completely. Okay, great. Teams love that. So that's why expiring contracts, the Knicks are taking back expiring contracts in this deal. So they have the two max slots available. The Suns are in a tougher spot making a deal because they don't have those expiring contracts.
We had James Jones on yesterday. He said, I am not concerned at all that Devin Booker is going to want out.
I'm not concerned about that with Devin. You know, Devin has reiterated multiple times that Phoenix is where he wants to be. And like all things, you push to be better. You know, Devin understands that this isn't a situation where we can flip a switch and become a contender overnight. A lot of our growth and progress will be determined by his growth and progress.
I'm not concerned about it today either. In a year, if the Suns are still one of the worst teams in the league, I'll be concerned about it. In 2 years, if the Suns are one of the worst teams in the league, I'll be petrified of it.
I think this offseason is a big one. I think if you're Booker, you want to know, what's the direction? Where are we going? How are we going to get there? I need some answers, and I need to see you execute your plan. I need to know that we're not going to win 20 games next year, because at that point the frustration level just may boil over. If it hasn't by now, it will by then.
Comedian Jim Jeffries coming to Celebrity Theater on his Night Talker tour Saturday, February 9th. We're giving you the chance to win tickets. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com to enter, and for complete details on tickets and show info. So, all the attention today has been on the Kristaps Porzingis trade. Where does that leave Anthony Davis and his own trade request? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Must learn. It's the Knowledge Drop.
Let knowledge drop.
The Knowledge Drop. Brought to you by Lifetime Windows. Did you know metal window frames conduct heat right into your home? Visit LifetimeWindowsAZ.com.
All right, two bits of knowledge to drop on you today. One serious and one that's going to make you...
What, I learned something today.
All right, three knowledge drops today.
Oh, I thought that was one of the two.
No, that
Sorry. Wasn't.
That's okay. Knowledge drop number one, you learned the meaning behind the phrase, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. So if you want to have a drink and it's early, you can say it's 5 o'clock somewhere and drink.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Alan Jackson, right? Yeah, that's right.
I did not know that.
Yeah, that's so Gambo, congratulations for being the
always
only
learning, man. Always learning.
The only man
never
not
stop
to
learning.
Know that.
Never stop learning.
Jackie Robinson would have turned 100 today.
I love every story, every book I've ever read about Jackie Robinson. Love Jackie Robinson.
And then knowledge drop number three, and I got this off of Twitter from Tommy Beer. He's an NBA analyst for NBC and Roto World. You're going to love this as a Knicks fan with Porzingis getting traded today. The last Knicks draft pick to sign a multi-year contract with New York after his rookie deal.
Oh, give me a hint. I don't know this. Give me a hint.
Point guard. I give you three. Two.
Did he play for UNLV?
One. No.
Oh.
Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward, the Florida State quarterback. The Florida State quarterback.
Was the last Knicks draft pick to sign a multi-year contract after his rookie
Charlie
year.
Charlie Ward.
That was
I was thinking Greg Anthony.
It was 1994.
Oh,
94.
No. Yeah. They suck.
They suck.
No, they just suck.
I mean, if there's anything that
they
is
suck.
A measuring stick of how badly you sucked, I don't know what there is that's better than that.
Trust me, they suck.
You haven't signed a draft pick to a contract beyond their rookie year since Charlie Ward?
Yeah, the last time they were relevant, OJ was getting away with murder.
God, that's just
what?
Terrible.
That's the last time
No, that part's not terrible. The fact that it's been that long since
Charlie
they've been relevant.
Ward. Yeah, you remember Charlie Ward playing quarterback?
Yeah, of course I do. Florida State. Yeah, yeah. I remember that very well.
Jordan's Charlie, who's Charlie Ward? You don't remember Charlie
No,
Ward.
I remember him.
You remember Charlie Ward?
He was a finalist, if not winner, of the Heisman.
I think he won the Heisman.
Man.
Yeah, I believe he won the Heisman, yeah.
You're older than I think you are. You just look young.
I'm an old soul, Gambo.
Yeah. Charlie Ward. I was going to think Greg Anthony.
Yeah, it was Charlie Ward. The New Orleans Pelicans are apparently adopting a very staunch position when it comes to Anthony Davis. First of all, they took him out of the video last night, right? The intro video?
Yes.
Now, they said afterwards the only reason they did it was because they didn't want Anthony Davis to get booed. But they took him out of the video. You thought that was kind of petty.
Was petty.
That they did that.
I don't buy the excuse either. Was petty.
He's
been there for 7 years. He gave you everything he had. You're not winning. He wants to leave. I mean, so be it. He's asked for a trade. You don't have to take him out of the video.
He left the bench area during the fourth quarter. After the game, Alvin Gentry's like, I don't care. He's in the locker room. That's all that matters to me. There was a report from Mark Stein that said the Pelicans are giving very serious consideration if they don't move him by this time next week, and that's when the deadline is, that they could sit him the rest of the year. They could sit him the rest of the year so that, A, he's not a distraction, and, B, he doesn't get hurt and diminish his value in the offseason. That they might just not play him at all. Just, you know what, like the Suns did with Eric Bledsoe. You know what, just go home. Go home.
Well, that's what you need to do. Can't take the chance that he gets injured, and then you can't trade him. So if you are going to trade him, and you can wait till the offseason because you want to include Boston. But I'm telling you, the Celtics will not trade for him unless there's a chance that they can re-sign him. It doesn't have to be definite. But they have to believe that, listen, be honest with us. Do we have a chance to sign you? Yeah, if I go there and I like it, we play well, I could re-sign. Okay, then we'll trade for you. No, I'm going to L.A. Then no, they won't trade for him. The Celtics will not trade for him If he is content, they won't do it. They will not trade for him if he's content on going to L.A. in 2020.
But another team might. And we have seen recent examples.
But what are they going to give up? I mean, what would you give up if you only got a guy
Gambo,
for 1 year?
I'm just looking at recent history. I mean, I'm looking at a Spurs team that had a player in Kawhi Leonard that everybody thought wanted to go to the Lakers. Nope, we're not sending you to the Lakers. We got Paul George. Everybody thought he wanted to go to the Lakers. We're not going to send you to the Lakers. And both of those teams still were able to find partners that they could make a deal with and packages that they found acceptable. If it's not the Celtics, fine. I still think there's another team or two out there that might be willing to take the risk and bet on themselves.
I think
even with Anthony Davis taking that position.
Listen, you might be right, but I will tell you, there's no way they're going to get a better deal from that team that's willing to take the risk than they would if you're throwing in like Ingram and Kuzma and Ball and Zubac and a draft pick. I just don't know that you'll be able to top the offer that the Lakers are putting out there.
And you might be right, and that's where the stubbornness of New Orleans is coming into play here. Pelicans owner Gail Benson is, quote, enthusiastically carrying the small market banner. There are reports out of New Orleans that Dell Demps, now he's talking to the Lakers now. According to what I read, that he and Magic Johnson had a conversation, names were exchanged and things like that. But the report as of this morning was that they weren't returning the Lakers' phone calls. They just weren't doing it. And much like the Spurs, all right, remember when the Spurs were trying to move Leonard, they finally did return the Lakers' calls, and the Lakers walked away from it like, yeah, we're not getting Kawhi Leonard. We're not going to get him.
What's that area code? 213? Yeah, not interested. Yeah, don't pick it up.
Yep. Seriously. Like Dell Demps looks at his, Magic Johnson. Yeah, I'm not going to take that phone call.
310 Malibu? Yeah, no, not interested.
It's almost like, according to some of the reports, it's almost like the Pelicans are saying, look, we'll move him if we get a great deal, but we're not going to send him to L.A. We're just not going to do it. We're not going to do it to make AD happy. We're not going to do it to make Rich Paul happy. We're not going to do it to make LeBron happy.
Save the little guy from the Lakers.
Exactly.
We're going to take it on the chin.
I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees, and I ain't sending Anthony Davis to the Los Angeles Lakers.
I'm going to be honest with you. Stupid. Make the best deal. Whatever the best deal is. You know what? If the best deal is L.A., make the best deal for you. I mean, who cares about the best deal for you?
Okay, that's the rational way of thinking. But emotionally, as a guy who loves to hate the Lakers
it's
great.
Thank you so much.
Screw the Lakers.
Right. Screw the Lakers. Right.
Screw it. Now, if I'm Dell Demps, I might get fired in the offseason for it. But emotionally, it's awesome to watch the Pelicans go, screw it. We're not sending you to the Lakers. I don't care if you have five times a better offer than anything else we're getting. We're not going to send him to you. And the soonest he's going to play for you is when his contract is done in a year and a half. And that's how it's going to be.
Right. So what team do you hate the most in all of sports?
Oh, it depends.
Oh, in any sport, what team do you hate the most?
It depends on the day.
Pick one.
Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys. So some guy wants to buy your house. The Dallas Cowboy fan. He says, I'll give you $1 million for your house. I'm going to paint this thing in cowboy colors, man. I'm going to fly that cowboy flag. Some other guy comes in. He's a Redskins fan. He'll go, I'll give you $750 for it. I'm not giving that Cowboy fan that house. I'm going to sell it to the Redskins fan. You're an idiot. Sell it to the Cowboy fan. You're an idiot. Yeah.
I don't think that analogy quite matches up to this, but okay.
It's similar.
Okay.
I mean, make the best deal. What's the best deal? No matter what your hatred is for the Lakers and standing up for the little guy. Sell your house to the Cowboy fan. He's offering you more money. Who cares if he's going to fly the Cowboy banner and put a Cowboy basketball set outside the garage? And
now, fortunately, the neighborhood I live in,
the
HOA Nazis would never allow that to happen. So I don't have to worry about that in my hood. Not going to happen in Gilbert. No way. Not happening. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, he fits what the Suns are looking for. We have a week to go before the trade deadline. Have the Suns found their new point guard? Can they find a way to make it happen? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. This Lonzo Ball to the Phoenix Suns talk is, I don't know if it's hot yet. It's warming, right? It's getting warm. It's interesting.
Well, Sam Amico, who does a great job, he's got a story that the Suns, I'm trying to look at it right now, that the Suns officials deny reports of interest in the Lakers guard. There have been no talks between the Suns and the Lakers for Lonzo Ball. That doesn't, but my point is, I believe out of all the point guards that are out there, he's the best fit. He's the guy that they would like. But I do agree, and I have said, like, there have, like, the Suns have not talked to the Lakers one-on-one. Can we trade for Lonzo Ball? Those discussions have not taken place. The L.A. Lakers may need Lonzo Ball to trade to New Orleans, and then if a deal is done, it could be the Suns might have to get involved more with New Orleans. Like, we'll send you a wing because they need wings, and then you send us Lonzo. So the Lakers are not talking to the Suns about Lonzo Ball. The Suns aren't talking to the Lakers about Lonzo Ball. What I've been saying is I think he's the best fit. I think he's the guy that they like the most, that makes the most sense for them to play point guard over guys like Rozier and D'Angelo Russell and all the point guards, Jrue Holiday and Frank Ntilikina and Dennis Smith Jr. and every point guard that we've mentioned in the last, 4 or 5 weeks, that this guy makes the most sense because he fits the exact style that they want.
All right, this is all coming from Anthony Davis wanting to go to the LA Lakers, and presumably Lonzo Ball is in a lot of the trade proposals that the Lakers reportedly have made to the Pelicans to get Anthony Davis. Where this thing is taking kind of a wrinkle is that a couple days ago it was reported that Lonzo Ball's camp would like it to be known that if Lonzo is going to get included in this deal, he doesn't want to go to the Pelicans because they already have a point guard. And he wants to go to a team that doesn't have a point guard. Now, first of all, we can sit here and debate whether he's in a position to even dictate that, which he's not. But it did give rise to the speculation that maybe the Suns could get involved, be a third team in a trade between the Pelicans and Lakers, and use it to get Lonzo Ball. Now, right. You called me last night on my way home to tell me about this Lonzo Ball son stuff and how he might be the guy who fits them best and he might be the guy who would be what they're looking for ultimately in the point guard position. Then today, the beat writer for the Lakers who works for the LA Times, Tanya Ganguly, Tanya tweeted out this afternoon, after learning of the Lakers' offers to the Pelicans, Lonzo Ball's camp maintains that New Orleans is not the desired destination. Phoenix makes the most basketball sense if Ball were to be traded, and according to two sources, there is mutual interest. Now, Sam Amico, who writes for USA Today, you referenced him a second ago, he's reporting that the Suns are denying that there's been any contact with the Lakers about Lonzo Ball.
Yeah, there have been no contacts. He's right. Sam's right. There has been no contact. Interest is a different thing. Yeah, I can be interested, but I haven't actually made the phone call yet,
Sure.
Dave Burns was probably interested in many girls in high school, but never actually got to the point where he actually, went to talk to them.
You know what? You're when it comes to me, you're inaccurate about a lot of stuff. You're right on the money when it comes to that.
Dave Burns is probably interested in many.
Whoever your sources are, your sources are very, very good in high school.
Do you have interest in Danielle over there? Yes, I have interest in Danielle.
Does that mean
that you and Danielle are going to go out? No.
I had interest in all sorts of, trust me, the interest was not mutual in high school. I promise you, that was not the word. Stacy, Julie, Sarah. There was no mutual interest in high school.
That's why you sing in the shower. How do you like me now?
I'm familiar with
in
that.
In the showers. How do you like me now, Julie? Sarah? What was the other one's name?
Sarah.
Stacy? How do you like me now, Stacy?
I'm not doing that.
Big time talk show host.
I'm not doing that. How'd your life end up, Stacy? All right, so mutual interest but no contact, mutual interest but no discussion. Just the idea that if you think about what James Jones said to us a couple weeks ago when he was on for his weekly visit, he said, look, here's what we're looking for, point guard.
If I were to say we're a football team, I'd say we want to run the spread offense. We want a quarterback. We want someone leading our team that will spray the ball around, that will get our players like Devin, like Josh, Kelly, TJ, DeAndre, get those guys easy buckets and set the table for them. So that's where we trend as far as playmakers and facilitators.
Kind of sounds like Lonzo Ball.
That kind of sounds like Lonzo Ball. I'm describing a point guard. He's tall. He's a good defender. He's a great passer. I don't need him to score a whole lot because I've got a lot of scorers. But he's able to get guys open shots and create. That's Lonzo Ball. Everything that they are determined, deciding that they wanted a point guard. I mean, how could it not be Lonzo Ball? Everybody else, everybody has flaws. Every point guard we've ever talked about has flaws.
No doubt.
Conley's got a major Achilles injury, and he's got age, and he's got $67 million left on the next 2 years of his contract. D'Angelo Russell, he can't stay in front of anybody. They got to play zone defense. He's so bad. Jrue Holiday, love him. He's not a playmaker. He's a secondary ball handler. I mean, he's not smart enough to be the point guard full games. You got to have somebody else carry the ball. Any single point guard that we've ever talked
Terry
about.
Terry Rozier?
Rozier's like, he does a lot of things well, but nothing great. And he's more of a combo guy, though that he can run the point, and he's had a bad year. He's not having a good year. He's had a couple good games, but he's not having a good year.
You're right. Lonzo Ball's got flaws like the rest of them have flaws. It's just that Lonzo's flaws, he's got a lot of them. He's got a lot of them. He's got a lot more baggage than the other guys do. Right, Jrue Holiday. He's got a bag that he checked in at the gate. Lonzo Ball's got five suitcases that had to go through baggage claim. He does. He already is entitled enough to believe that he can somehow dictate the terms of his departure from L.A. That in and of itself is ridiculous. That in and of itself is an arrogant presumption from somebody who has done literally nothing to earn that.
I've had one NBA executive tell me he is not good enough to be worth the distractions.
I'm not even talking about his dad. But let's talk about his dad for a second. That's going to be a distraction. You know it is. And we've had the LeVar Ball talk a million times. I don't want to go there. But you're right. They all have flaws. They all have weaknesses. There is no perfect candidate. Nope. They don't exist. It's just that Lonzo's flaws, his baggage, God, he's got so many suitcases. He's got so many of them that to the point of your conversation that you had with that exec, is he worth it? Is the pass first point guard who can defend and distribute it and get
a lot of baggage, but does he sit into that seat a little bit more comfortable? You know, he's kind of skinny. You know, he's not very broad, so when you sit next to him,
you're
right?
Doing like an airplane metaphor.
Yeah,
here.
I'm doing an airplane metaphor. He's you're on the B at the baggage. Okay, you sit. You know, that guy sits next to you. Oh, it's okay. He's not big. He's not fat. He's not overweight. Okay, he's always not taking that armrest that I like to put my arm on.
If he's arrogant enough to think that at the age 21 he can dictate where he
just
goes in terms of a trade, I don't know if he's going to sit. Well, he fits in a basketball sense, but my God, I mean, you understand what I'm saying, right?
100%.
I mean,
there's baggage with all of them. Everybody you want has something.
You think you get a say in this, Lonzo? You don't get a say in this. You're not a big enough deal to get a say in this. You're not important enough to say, you know what? Yeah, that sounds great. Can I go somewhere where they don't have a point guard? Yeah, okay, whatever. Sure, great. Whatever you say, Lonzo, we'll work as hard as we can to accommodate you. Get out of here with that. Get out of here. I mean, just that fact alone drives me nuts.
I talked to New Orleans earlier this morning, and I'll try to find out more. Would they want Lonzo? I'll try to do this before tomorrow. Would they want Lonzo? Would they want one of the Suns' wings if they're going to make a trade? And I mean, the big thing is, are they willing to trade Anthony Davis? When push comes to shove, and this is going to be the hard part, are they willing to turn down a trade with the Lakers that may end up being the best offer they get? Are they willing to turn that down because they don't want to make the Lakers better? They'd rather take it on the chin themselves. We're going to make a worse deal because we don't want to help out the Lakers. If the Lakers are willing to do something right now, hey, we got the best package. Are the New Orleans Pelicans really willing to let that deal go by for the sake of what's good for the NBA?
Yeah.
I can't wait to see
what you find. And I want to make sure I say this, too, about Lonzo. All right. I know they all have baggage. I'd be lying to you if I said I wasn't intrigued to see what it would look like if he were here being the point guard. I'd be lying if I said that to you. He's got baggage. He's got issues that I'm not a big fan of. But if he really is that type of point guard and the Suns need that kind of guy, I'd be lying to you if I said I couldn't wait. I'd be really curious to see what that would look like and if he would be the answer to this team.
They loved him in the draft. They loved him in the draft. Remember, they ended up with Josh Jackson, but they wanted one of the point guards.
Yeah. Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. We will digitally deliver it to you every day. It's the Burns and Gambo podcast. It's brought to you this week by AutoNation Chevy. After sitting patiently for months, could Bryce Harper be headed to the NL West? Plus, how do the Diamondbacks view the new addition in their bullpen, Greg Holland? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo Show. don't know if this is accurate or not. I'm assuming from where it's coming from, it is from Newsday.com. Their media writer, Neil
Newsday?
Best. Yeah.
I used to work there.
Just tweeted out. I know. Just tweeted out top trending topics in the United States in order right now. Knicks, 1, 2, Porzingis, 3, Mavs, 4, Luka, 5, Kristaps, 6, Dallas, 7, Mavericks, 8, DeAndre Jordan, 9, Doncic. The top 9 trending stories, topics in America right now on Twitter.
And he said,
all
wow.
have to do with the trade.
Wow. Hashtag sorry Super Bowl.
Sorry Super Bowl. taking your attention away from you. So that's funny stuff. Turning our attention to the Diamondbacks. Just wrapped up a moment ago a conference call with Mike Hazen, the general manager of the Diamondbacks. Greg Holland, the signing of the reliever to the one-year deal, was just made official about an hour ago in a press release sent out by the team. Hazen, the money question, will there be a closer competition?
I think, yeah. I think Torrey kind of mentioned what he mentioned at the winter meetings when nothing else had kind of been settled. I think, you know, we have three guys in Archie and Greg and Yosh and also Chafin that have the ability to pitch in the back end for us. Ultimately Torrey's going to make that decision on what the roles are when guys come out.
That's 26 seconds of I don't know.
I don't know. Said this yesterday. I spoke with the Diamondbacks. They're not ready to make a decision. They are not ready to make a decision on who's going to be the closer. So this will take some time. I mean, no rush. You know, no rush to know who the closer is going to be.
Nope.
I mean, let them think about that. Let them pour over all the analytics and go over all the numbers and crunch everything. And then, I mean, maybe they'll wait and see. Listen, you know what Archie could do. I mean, you know what Archie could do, and you know what Holland could do. So this just has to be. I don't know if this is a spring training competition. I mean, these guys have both been in the league for a long time, Holland more, but I think you just have to figure out what's best for us right now. What is best for us? And it may end up being where Holland starts as a closer and Archie could finish if Holland can't go the full season. We'll have to wait and see.
Hazen was also asked if he told Holland that he'll have a chance to win the closer's job.
We told him that he'd be coming in to compete, that he would be pitching in leverage roles. Yeah.
But again, and we had Mike Farron on the show earlier, D-backs post-game show host, and with Sirius XM Radio, the MLB network there. He agrees with what you and I have been talking about the last couple of days. When you give a reliever a $3.5 million salary, and then the opportunity to earn another $3.5 million in incentives, that kind of suggests that, hey, in case I'm the closer, I need to make a little extra money.
Yes, of course.
And you need to build in some protection for that in the deal. The incentives kind of suggest that he was told he'll have a chance to win the closer's job when it's all said and done. Hazen was also asked about why Holland was better in Washington than he was with the St. Louis Cardinals last year.
I think the command was that much better. definition of his stuff was that much better. He, you know, we think spring training probably had some impact on him last year, and how it may have gone in St. Louis, and it seemed like it didn't get off to the greatest start, and maybe just snowballed a little bit from there, and seemed once he caught his breath and was ready to go, middle of the year, and then into Washington, he threw the ball much, much better, back to what we had all sort of been accustomed to.
Slider seems to be the big thing that improved for him. Just the location, his ability to put it where he wanted it, was a lot better in Washington than it was in St. Louis.
Terrible in St. Louis. When he got to Washington, they loved him, and you know, they could use him as an eighth inning guy, a ninth inning guy, and I checked in with the Nats yesterday, and they were spoke very highly about Greg Holland and what he did for them. He was a good pickup for them, and so this could be a really good move for the Diamondbacks, and a low-cost move, too. Because, you know, we talked a couple of years ago about how little they were spending on their bullpen. Even last year, between Boxberger, Bradley, and Hirano, it was like $7 million total. You know, and it's going to be very similar this year. It's not a lot of money spent on the bottom three of your bullpen. The Diamondbacks don't go out and spend $10, $12, $15 million on a closer.
And you brought this up yesterday. You have to wonder, assuming Hazen's going to be here for a long time running the show for the Diamondbacks, if this is how they're going to do it every year when it comes to the closer. Rather than make a long-term investment in one guy and say, you're it, you're our guy, do this year-to-year thing where it's Rodney one year, then it's Boxberger the next, then it's Holland
one year. You know, it's proven you could always find them.
Sure.
You could always find them. I mean, even one of the best closers in the game got traded this year to the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Joaquin Soraya got traded. I mean, so the guys are always – every year it's the one thing that gets traded the most.
We've seen Andrew Miller get traded. We've seen Aroldis Chapman get traded. We've seen so many closers get traded. I mean, so they're readily available.
Plus, you know this, being a fan of the Yankees, all right, the thing in part that made Rivera so great was his consistency, right? That's a position where you typically don't get a lot of consistency out of. You know, closers are good one year, not so good the next, or have a 2 or 3 year run where they're dominant, and then suddenly everybody figures out their stuff and they're not as great. Closers, it's very hard to be consistently good at that job, to be consistently great at that job.
That's what made Rivera so special. Sure. He was consistently great all the time, you know, so that did separate him from everybody else. Hoffman was probably one of the best, too. There's been a lot of great closers over the year, but you know, sometimes it is better, unless you develop a guy. You know, if you develop a guy and you could keep him for 5 or 6 years, but then once he wants the big money, you might be like, well, instead of paying you the big money, I'm just going to let you go and go get somebody else for $3.5 million.
And the other thing Farron was talking to us about with earlier, too, with Archie Bradley, is that relievers are now figuring out you don't need to be a closer to make money. You can, teams now value that Archie Bradley type role and will pay that Archie Bradley type role good money, because that's a valuable service in today's, but you don't have to, the race to be a closer as a reliever, it's not as strong as it once was, because the money just isn't as, the money is still pretty good if you're a setup guy. If you're an Andrew Miller type, if you're an Archie Bradley type, you can make a lot of money. You can make a lot of money, and maybe not closer's money, but you can make a lot of money pitching in that role if you're good at it.
You still get more money if you're a closer. There is still more money available to you if you're a closer.
The Padres are meeting with Bryce Harper, according to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic. That meeting is going to take place, either did take place today or will take place tomorrow in Las Vegas. Ownership is expected to be represented at the meeting. Harper and Scott Boras will be there. Boras and the Padres have history. Thanks to the Hosmer deal this time a year ago, the Padres are a very surprising team, to say the least, to enter the Bryce Harper sweepstakes.
They've got two really good offensive players in Will Meyer and Hosmer, who, again, I'll say they signed Hosmer one day before spring training last year. If you add Bryce Harper, you bring a draw. Like, they may be looking at this and saying, financially, okay, maybe we're not going to pack the ballpark, but will he make the difference of 5,000 people a night?
Sure. Now, that I could see.
Randy Johnson in Seattle made a difference of 10,000 people a night in Seattle. In San Diego, could Bryce Harper bring in 5,000 more people a night? Can he sell 5,000 more season tickets? I mean, you've got to factor that in when you're deciding, because San Diego has a problem selling out that building. But if I'm Bryce Harper, I'm going to recognize how hard it is to hit home runs there in those night games. It's impossible. That's why they moved the fences in, and it's still hard to hit home runs
there. All right, programming notes to keep in mind coming up here. What we have coming up next is the Big Red Rage from 6 until 7, and then we will join ASU U of A basically right at tip-off at 7 o'clock here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. If you want the complete ASU U of A broadcast, including the pregame show, you can hear that on ESPN 620, and that starts at 6:30 tonight. So if you want the full ASU broadcast, ESPN 620, you got Big Red Rage coming up right now, and then at 7, right at tip-off, ASU versus U of A, which will obviously be a giant topic for us tomorrow to see how the Sun Devils do. We'll see if anything else happens on the Lonzo Ball front. The trade deadline is 1 week away in the NBA.
And not just Lonzo Ball. We'll see if the Suns are willing to do anything else. You know, if they're willing to trade any of their players. Because they could.
Are you hinting at something?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, this team's got 11 wins. They have 11 wins.
They do. That they do.
If they can be active, they need to try.
We're out of here. The Big Red Rage is next, followed by ASU basketball. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock.
Have a good night, everyone.